The raising of Lazarus caused a reaction among the Jews. That's the subject of our program today on the Radio Bible Course, and we welcome you to this study. We're dealing with John chapter 11, verse 45, which tells us that many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on thus, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." We saw that many of the people, after seeing the raising of Lazarus, believed. They believed, it says, because of what they had seen. They saw, it says, what he did. And I want to just say a word about the Greek word here for see. It's theaomai. Now, this is not going to be difficult, so don't leave your radio. The word see here is not the common word for see in Greek. This one is found 17 times in the New Testament, and it's one of 11 verbs translated to see in the New Testament. This one stresses attentive or contemplative viewing, not merely a glance. For example, you might be outside and look up and see an airplane flying overhead. That's one Greek word, simply to see it. But when I was a boy, we saw airplanes in a different way because they were not too common then. And when one flew over the house, a little boy would look up and he would shout, "There is an airplane!" And we studied it. Did it have one or two wings? Did it have one or two engines, or perhaps three, as some of them did? We studied the design. We observed how fast it could travel. Now, that kind of seeing is what we have here. It was the theaomai seeing. So perhaps now you see the difference between the verb used here for see in verse 45 and many of the other uses of Greek words in the New Testament. John said by this verb that he used in writing verse 45 that there was something that really got their attention, and they drew conclusions from what they saw. Now, the word is perhaps better remembered as we consider a related word, and that's theatron, from which we get the word theater, of course. And what do you do in a theater? You watch the action. You hear the words. You give undivided attention to what's going on. So that's the word John has chosen here to describe these people. It's the word that is used in John chapter 1, and this is interesting, John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld His glory." Beheld is the same Greek word. So the people saw miracles, they heard the words of Jesus, they heard the wisdom that came from His lips, and what he spoke was the perfect word of God. He was totally accurate in everything that he said, and he was perfect in everything that he did. Jesus never had to apologize for making a mistake. They saw his glory. And the Apostle Paul used this same word also at the end of the Roman epistle when he said, "I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain." That's Romans 15:24. What did he want to do? Just stand on the side of the ship and wave? No, what Paul wanted was to visit them. And why did Paul want to visit people? To deal with spiritual matters. So again, this word see means something more intensive than simply looking at something and then going on and forgetting about it. So those Jews at the tomb of Lazarus had watched Jesus call that man out of the tomb, and they drew some conclusions. And they knew this man was more than a man. They concluded that he must be from God. Now, secondly, it says in these opening verses of this section that some went to the Pharisees to report what had happened. If we were at that meeting and eavesdropping, I suspect we would have heard someone say, "And he raised this man from the dead? Really? Are you sure?" "Yes, he was dead 4 days, there's no doubt about it. Even his sisters said that his body was probably smelling and hesitated about Jesus opening the tomb." Well, we've got to do something about that. We can't let those kinds of things go on. You see, those Pharisees were prejudiced. You are not going to find Jews here in this text who are being objective when they get the report from the people who saw the miracle. They didn't want to go to the tomb or go to visit Lazarus and say, "We've got to see this for ourselves," which truth seekers would have done. But these people were not that way. Now, the people who went to the Pharisees and gave the report, I feel, were not believers. It's not clear from the text. It says some believed and some went to the Jews, that is, the Pharisees. And I think that those who went to the Pharisees were those who had not believed. They wanted to give a report to their friends who were the Pharisees. Now, why they did not believe is difficult to understand, for they were on the scene. They witnessed a miracle. They saw Lazarus alive and well thereafter, and you might have expected that every one of them would have gone to Jesus and fallen down on their knees and worshipped him right there. But people aren't that way. They don't face the facts. Everyone says, "Well, we want truth and we want facts." But when they get the facts, they still go on their own stubborn way. Now, you and I know that from experience, and we know that from the Bible also, that many people refuse to believe in spite of the evidence which was presented. And there is an example from Paul's life, remember? Paul was a prisoner in Rome. But he was allowed to stay in his own hired house with a soldier there to guard him. When he was there, and this is recorded in Acts chapter 28, he called the leading men of the Jews to meet with him. And here is what happened. It's recorded in Acts 28, beginning with verse 23. "And when they had set a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe." Is that passage a comfort to you? It is to me. And here's why. The smartest man in Judaism could not convince some Jews from their own Bible that Jesus was the promised Messiah. So when you talk to people and explain the gospel and you don't get them to respond in a positive way, at least thank God for the opportunity you had to speak the gospel. That's what we are told to do, to preach the word, not to manipulate people into decisions. What they do with God's word is their problem, not our problem. Ours is to make it clear, so clear that people know what God is saying and what they have to do in order to please God. May I say this in this connection, that if you are concerned that you don't know how to talk with people, please write to us. I would like to send you a copy of our Grace Booklet, which essentially tells people what they need to know in order to get eternal life. Now, the Grace Booklet doesn't tell you everything, and it's not a training manual for evangelism, but it sure focuses on the grace of God, and salvation is impossible without grace. Listen for our mailing address at the end of this program. Now, the Scriptures declare that although God has revealed His existence, men have suppressed the truth, and they face the certain wrath of God because of it. Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. He said, "That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." Friends, there is a revelation in nature, and anyone seeking the truth will recognize it, and God will hold them accountable for how they respond to that revelation. Now, neither the testimony of nature nor the preaching of the good news about life through Christ have overcome the rebellion against God, even though we have written prophecies which foretold the coming of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ and His resurrection. It's part of the written record. Now, in the case of the Pharisees here, several things are apparent. First, they heard the witnesses tell of Jesus' miracle. That makes them accountable. Secondly, the witnesses were from their own ranks. These were not people who they could not trust. And third, there is no recorded attempt on their part to refute the testimony that they heard, or to go to see the man who had been raised from the dead. And next, the text tells us they admit that Jesus was doing signs, not one, but many. Where did they admit that? In verse 47, it says, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs." And here they are admitting it, are they not? If you saw someone who was doing signs, what would your response be? Would you just walk away? Or try to stop him? Wouldn't you try to discover where the power is coming from, if it is real? If you are seeking truth, you would. These men, however, were not seeking truth, and they further admit the validity of the signs by recognizing that these signs resulted in faith among the people. Oh, faith is such an important word. It's through faith that men get eternal life. Many people don't understand the significance of this word, faith, and for that reason we have emphasized it in our course on cassette tape called Understanding the New Testament. I like to think of this course as an orientation course. Most people have started going to church but never had an orientation course, and how can they understand the greatest book in the world without some orientation? Well, it's in Understanding the New Testament, right for information. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.